story time. I hope you've been looking forward to this, because we try to get a story for you every year that has something to do with the meaning of Jesus. And I think we've got a good one about this year, that's not just Jesus, but the spirit of Christmas that we can all get into. About a week before Christmas, the family bought a new nativity scene. When they unpacked it, they found two figures of the baby Jesus. "Someone must have packed this wrong," the mother said, counting out the figurines. "We have one Joseph, one Mary, three wise men, three shepherds, two lambs, a donkey, a cow, an angel, and two babies." "Oh dear. I suppose some set down at the store is missing a baby Jesus, because we have two. You two run back down to the store and tell the manager that we have an extra Jesus. Tell him to put a sign on the remaining boxes saying that if a set is missing a baby Jesus, call 7126. Put on your warm coats, it's freezing cold out there." The manager of the store copied down Mother's message, and the next time they were in the store, they saw the cardboard sign that read, "If you're missing baby Jesus, call 7126. All week long, they waited for someone to call. Surely, they thought, someone was missing that important figurine. Each time the phone rang, Mother would say, "I'll bet that's about Jesus," but it never was. Father tried to explain, "There are thousands of these nativity sets scattered all over the country, and the figurine could be missing from a set in Florida or Texas or California. Those packing mistakes happen all the time." He suggested, "Just put the extra Jesus back in the box and forget about it." "Put baby Jesus back in the box? What a terrible thing to do," said the children. "Surely someone will call," Mother said. "We'll just keep the two of them together in the manger until someone calls." When no call had come by 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, Mother insisted that Father just run down to the store to see if there were any sets left. "You can see them right through the window over on the counter," she said. "If they are all gone, I'll know someone is bound to call tonight." "Run down to the store?" Father thundered. "It's 15 below out there." "Oh, Daddy, we'll go with you." Tommy and Mary began to put on their coats. Father gave a long sigh and headed for the front closet. "I can't believe I'm doing this," he muttered. Tommy and Mary ran ahead as Father reluctantly walked out in the cold. Mary got to the store first and pressed her nose up to the store window. "They're all gone, Daddy," she shouted. "Every set must be sold." "Hooray," Tommy said. "The mystery will now be solved tonight." Father heard the news while he was still half a block away. Immediately, he turned on his heel and headed back home. When they got back into the house, they noticed that Mother was gone, and so was the extra baby Jesus figurine. "Someone must have called, and she went out to deliver the figurine," Father reasoned, pulling off his boots. "You kids get ready for bed while I wrap Mother's present." And then the phone rang. Father yelled, "Answer the phone. Tell them we found a home for the baby Jesus." But it was Mother calling with instructions for us to come to 205 Chestnut Street immediately and bring 3 blankets, a box of cookies, and some milk. "Now what has she gotten us into?" my father groaned as we bundled up again. 205 Chestnut. "Why, that's across town. Wrap that milk up good, kids, in the blankets, or it will turn to ice before we get there. Why can't we all just get on with Christmas? It's probably 20 below out there now. And the wind is picking up, of all the crazy things to do on a night like this." When they got to the house at 205 Chestnut Street, it was the darkest one on the block. Only one tiny light burned in the living room, and the moment we set foot on the porch steps, my mother opened the door and shouted, "They're here. Oh, thank God you got here, Ray. You kids, take those blankets into the living room and wrap up the little ones on the couch. I'll take the milk and cookies." "Would you mind telling me what is going on?" my father asked. "We have just walked through below zero weather with the wind in our faces all the way." "Never mind all that now," my mother interrupted. "There isn't any heat in this house, and this young mother is so upset she doesn't know what to do. she's a single mom, and these poor little children will have a very bleak Christmas, so don't you complain. I told her you could fix that oil furnace in a jiffy. My mother strode off to the kitchen to warm the milk while my brother and I wrapped up the five little children who were huddled together on the couch. The children's mother explained to my father that she had been doing everything that she could, the best she could, until the furnace broke down. I've been doing washing and ironing for people and cleaning the five and dime, she said. I saw your number every day there on those boxes on the counter. And when the furnace went out, that number kept going through my mind. 7162, 7162. Said on the box that if a person was missing Jesus, they should call you. That's how I knew you were good Christian people willing to help folks. I figured that maybe you would help me too. So I stopped at the grocery store tonight and I called your missus. I'm not missing Jesus, mister, because I sure love the Lord. But I am missing heat. I have no money to fix that furnace. Okay, okay, said Father. You've come to the right place. Now let's see. You've got a little oil burner over there in the dining room. Shouldn't be too hard to fix. Probably just a clogged flue. I'll look it over, see what it needs. Mother came into the living room carrying a plate of cookies and warm milk. As she set the cups down on the coffee table, I noticed the figure of baby Jesus lying in the center of the table. It was the only sign of Christmas in the house. The children stared wide-eyed with wonder at the plate of cookies my mother set before them. Finally, Father got the oil burner working and said, "You need more oil. I'll make a few calls tonight and get some oil." "Yes, sir, you came to the right place," Father grinned. On the way home, Father did not complain about the cold weather, and he had barely set foot inside the door when he was on the phone. "Ed, hey, how are you, Ed?" "Yes, Merry Christmas to you, too." "Say, Ed, we have kind of an unusual situation here. I know you've got that pickup truck. Do you still have some oil in that barrel on your truck?" "You do?" By this time, the rest of the family were pulling clothes out of their closets and toys off of their shelves. It was long after their bedtime when they were wrapping gifts. The pickup came. On it were chairs, three lamps, blankets, and gifts. Even though it was 30 below now, Father let them ride along in the back of the truck. No one ever did call about the missing figure in the nativity set. But as I grew older, I realized it wasn't a packing mistake at all. Jesus saves. That's what he does. Are you missing baby Jesus?
I'm going to read a passage from John, and it's the first chapter, and the verses will be 6 through 13. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear the witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Thank you.
You can open your Bibles back to John chapter 1, if you would. The October 2001 issue of National Geographic contained this quote in an article called The Power of Light. So, listen carefully. "Light reveals the world to us. Body and soul crave it. Light sets our biological clocks. It triggers in our brains the sensations of color. Light feeds us, supplying the energy of plants to grow. And it inspires us with special effects like rainbows and sunsets. Science does not fully understand what light is or what it can do, but we know that it will illuminate our future." Years ago, science believed that light was made up of waves. You know, light waves. Modern science has decided that it's not waves at all, but it's actually particles. And it actually has weight to it. I don't know if you've done a whole lot of reading in military technology, but light amplified by stimulated emission of radiation, which is what? Somebody say laser. Light amplified by stimulated emission of radiation actually has the ability to have kinetic force. And the Navy will often, with their battleships, with their laser guiding systems, will actually point at satellites in the air, and they will hit them with laser beams and listen to them ring. They can actually hear them when the light beams hit it. But we also know that lasers have the ability to burn through things. Light is a very, very powerful thing. And there are 76 references to light in your New Testament. And I want to share with you a few things about what it says, okay? John chapter 1 is very, very important in this regard. But we already read for you verses 6 through 13. We'll be talking a little bit about that. But we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The first thing we read here about light is that God is light. Very clearly, John tells us that this is the message that we've heard of Him, and we declare to you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Now, there's a whole load of, a boatload of theology in that, and if we don't really have the time to unpack all of that kind of stuff tonight. But when referring to God, the term light is used to describe God's purity. It's used to describe His truth and His complete knowledge. God doesn't just know stuff. He is all knowledge. He is all light. He's pure. And did you know that He is also happiness? It says, in Him there is no darkness. Darkness is the opposite of what God is, because God is light. So God is the essence and also the source of all perfect purity, all perfect sinlessness. He is the essence and the source of all truth without any error. He is absolute knowledge. When I tell you that God knows everything there is, does that blow your mind a little bit? He has no ignorance on any subject. And He is also a God of infinite joy. And I want you to make no mistake about that. We know that the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Okay? But that second thing there is joy. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit's working inside of you. And God gives joy. Now, wait a minute, Pastor Jay. Did you just say that God is the source of joy and that He is also the essence of joy? Yeah, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said. Well, what does that mean to you? Well, it means that God is the source of joy and that He is a joyful God. How many of you, when you think of God as joyful? Do you think of Him as joyful? Be honest. I think that most people, when they think about God, don't think of Him as joyful at all. They think of God as this sourpuss. You know what I mean? He scowls a lot. God must continually scowl, because everybody knows that God is a sourpuss and a buzzkill. He just lives to ruin our fun. Is that right? How can that possibly be? If God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. I want you to know that God does not just give you joy. He is a joyful God. How many of you just learned something new? How many of you think that God looks like the dearest old saint you've ever known in church, who looks like they just drank a 5-gallon barrel of pickle juice? You can tell how holy people are based on the number of scowl wrinkles they have right here. Is that true? It really isn't. Because God is a God of light. In Him there is no darkness at all. Bowie told us here, as he read, that the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Who was that? That's Jesus. Jesus. The second thing I want to share with you is that mankind, by human nature, abhors the light. John 3:19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and the men loved darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil." It says right there, verse 19. You can highlight it. You'll see for yourself. You folks, by nature, without God's intervention in our life, we want sin. And we want to sin against God. That is our natural, normal way of doing things. Okay? We were born with something that we call Adam's nature. Now, how many of you know that you were born with Adam's nature? Okay, 2 of you. Great. Let's work on the rest of you. The rest of you were also born with Adam's nature, something called, in the Catholic Church, original sin. Okay? If you are a Calvinist, they call it total depravity. All right? We were born with a natural bent to sin. Does that shock any of you? If it doesn't shock you, you've never seen a baby before. How does a baby get what they want? Oh, man. 108 decibels sometimes. They scream and they cry, "Give me what I want." They're born with a natural tendency to do what? Sin. Hard to think. I know, it is. But if it were up to us, folks, we would sin and we would believe that sin was the best way. But it's because light has come into the world, folks, that we can see the darkness. And we see where the darkness is. Without God's intervention in our lives, we would be happy to believe the lies of the adversary and believe that they're true. We would be happy to believe the lie that there's no such thing as right and wrong. We live in an age that wants us to believe that there is no such thing as right and wrong. That what's right and what's wrong depends on you. You are your own author of what's right and wrong in your own life, they'll tell you. But the Bible tells us that there is absolute right and there is absolute wrong. And praise God that absolute right is God. And Jesus, who is God with us, came to show us absolute right. We would be without the knowledge of God, and the inevitable result of leading a life without God is unhappiness and pain. And I want you to know something. God does not want any single one of you to live a life of unhappiness and pain. God wants you to be joyful people. Amen? Okay, good. You doing okay so far? Everybody awake? Okay. Can't tell, it's dark out there. How many of you are looking for a Christmas miracle this year? Yeah? What does that Christmas miracle look like? Right now, Pastor Jay, it would look like a really short sermon. We want to go home. How many of you enjoy the yearly onslaught of Hallmark Christmas movies? How many of you are lying right now by not raising your hand? Seriously, folks, every single one of these movies, Hallmark Christmas movies, has the same basic plot. So I'm going to save all of you husbands out there a lot of trouble, because I'm going to tell you what the plot of them all is. You can tell your wife what it is, and when the next Christmas movie comes on, say, hey, honey, I know the plot. Let's watch football. Here we go. The basic plot is a young professional woman will get stuck in a town or an area, usually by a freak snowstorm or a vehicular breakdown. Okay? She's in a place that she doesn't want to be, but she's stuck there. She's away from the fiancé that she's about ready to marry. Right? Tell me if this doesn't sound true. And while stranded in this place where she doesn't want to be, she meets a handsome stranger. Okay? She runs into this other guy, and they fall in love. But then there's a relationship crisis. And I'll ask my wife this. We'll get to the point in the movie. I go, has the crisis happened yet? She'll say, no, it hasn't happened yet. I'm thinking, oh boy, we're on for a long, long movie. But there'll be a relationship crisis with her new love interest. They will break up, but then a Christmas miracle will happen. And as this Christmas miracle happens, this young woman finds out that her new love interest is a love she's been waiting for all along. And that is it, folks. The end. Thank you very much. And live happily ever after. What Christmas miracle are you looking for? Think about it. Are you looking for the romantic experience you've been waiting for all of your life? Is that going to be your great Christmas miracle? Will it be a PlayStation 118, whatever the number of that latest iteration of the PlayStation is? Listen, folks. There is no gift under the tree, nor is there a Hallmark Christmas movie anywhere that can equal the real miracle of Christmas. And it is that Jesus Christ came to be God with us. And He was God, that He gave up all of His heavenly prerequisites so that He could come down here and live among His creation. That is the miracle of Christmas. God became a man in order to lead us out of darkness and into the light. Which leads us to our third point, and that is this. The Bible clearly teaches us, folks, that Jesus is the light of the world. Verses 4 and 5. In Him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Any other light is a false light. And if it is a false light, ladies and gentlemen, it comes from the other guy. You know what I'm talking about? The adversary. And this is how John introduces the Jesus. He says that this one is the Word, as it says in verse 1. And it says, in Him was life, and life was the light of men, or mankind. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not comprehended it. When Jesus was born into this world, He was no ordinary Jewish baby. Okay? He was no mere messenger sent from God, like some of the religions will teach. He wasn't some messenger. He was not an angel from on high, as other religions will try to teach you. He was not a messenger from God. He was not an angel from God. What was He? He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. He was God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Okay. There are religions out there that will teach you that Jesus was Satan's spirit brother. They will teach you that He was a messenger, but He wasn't God Himself. There are people that will try to teach you that Jesus was not God, but that He was a God. Little g. But the Bible is very clear that Jesus was the real God. his birth was talked about by a prophet named Isaiah back in your Old Testament. In Isaiah 7, it says that a virgin will give birth and his name will be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that was 400 years before Jesus was born. And somebody was writing about him ahead of time. And Emmanuel does not mean great teacher among us. Okay? Emmanuel does not mean God's messenger with us. Emmanuel does not mean rabbi with us. That means one thing. God with us. Big G. God with us. That means that God himself came to live among his own creation. And as he lived among his own creation, he took on human form. Okay? He walked shoulder to shoulder with us. He talked eye to eye with us. He looked us square in the eye, and he was God. He was so clearly God that people hated him for it, and they did not want him. It says that he came to his own creation. His own creation didn't even want him. And folks, there isn't a Hallmark miracle out there that can anywhere contain the real miracle of Christmas. Because of Jesus, folks, we can come in out of the cold and dark. And we can experience love and light. Because I'm a Christian, I can look at another Christian in their eye and say, I love you. I couldn't say that before. Could you? Not really. And they'll know, hey, this is, you know, a Christian loving a Christian in the love of Christ, and that's a good thing. Isn't that a good thing? When was the last time you told your brother or sister in Christ that you love them? Well, get with it, folks. The more you say it, the more presents under the tree, I guarantee it. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes, meaning in the past, in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. We were once lost in darkness, but because of what Jesus did, if we receive Christ, if we have Christ as our Savior, we now walk as children of light. And that's a good thing. Amen? Perhaps you haven't noticed, but the world around you is getting darker and it's getting colder by the day. More and more you find people rejecting the idea of real absolute truth. More and more you hear people talking about how they're living out their truth. Matter of fact, one of the presidential candidates was saying that he's living out his truth. And people on NBC and all those liberal news medias are going, oh, isn't that wonderful? He's living out his truth. And I ask myself, well, what is his truth? What does that mean? Living out my truth. If somebody's living out their truth, what does that really mean? Well, let me give you a quick definition. Okay? It means, basically, that I will live according to my own set of rules and regulations, and I will be faithful to do whatever feels good to me. Is it okay if I do whatever feels good to me? Oh, as long as it doesn't hurt you, it must be okay, right? Is that what the Bible says? If you think it does, then I suggest you go back to the book of Proverbs, which is right about halfway in your Bible. Just open up like halfway, plop it down. You're going to be real close to the book of Proverbs, and I hope you will be close to Proverbs 14:12. Because Proverbs 14:12 says this, okay? There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end thereof is death and destruction. If I live out my truth without Jesus, folks, the end is death and destruction. What are we to do? What are we supposed to do? People are out there living according to what seems right to them, and everybody has a different idea of what seems right to them. Are we supposed to applaud them and say, hey, congratulations for living out your truth? Jesus calls us to live His truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the truth, He said. Folks, if Jesus says it, it's okay. If I come to you and say, I am the truth, it's time to call the men in the white coats. My wife will tell you that I'm often not the truth, often wrong. What was that hard to say? No. Folks, when we possess the light of Christ, we share it. And we do it with purity. We do it with truth. We do it with knowledge. We do it with happiness. And we do it with love. How can we do it with all those things? Because we have a relationship with Jesus. And if we have a relationship with Jesus, it's not just a religious practice. It is Jesus Christ who will live through us. And if Jesus is living through us, what does that mean? Well, it means that we can be people who live lives of truth, who can live lives that are pure, who live lives that are full of knowledge of God and happiness and joy. How many of you could use a little happiness and joy? Could you use some of that? You know what happens, folks, when we find peace and joy and forgiveness through Jesus? You know what happens when we find that? We share it. You can't help but share it. If you've got the light of Christ in you and you are just bananas in love with Jesus Christ, you can't keep it to yourself. You can't. Oh, I know what you're going to say, Pastor Jim. But I want you to know that I respect everyone's right to believe what they want. Cool. You can respect their right to believe what they want. But they can also believe something that is wrong. And if you know the truth, what should you do? Respect their right to believe what they want. Or you can watch what happens when the light bulb goes on and somebody comes to know the peace and joy that comes in having their sins forgiven forever and knowing that they are going to live with their Savior Jesus for all time. Acts 26:18 says this: to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance of God. That's the message behind the candle lighting that we do here on Christmas Eve. You know why we light candles? You know why? Because this here candle is symbolic of the light of the world, who is what? And as we take these candles and we light somebody else's candle, what are we doing? We're passing the light of Jesus to other people. And that, folks, is as cool as it gets. You are doing better than giving them a PlayStation 119. Or whatever the latest iteration of that gaming system is. So tonight, as you do this, I want you to imagine, okay, that here you are, you've got the light of Christ in your hand, and I want you to imagine a person in your mind that you know needs to know Jesus. And as you pass the light to another person, I want you, in your imagination, to imagine yourself sharing the light of Christ with that person. Why should we do it that way? Well, because that's what this all means. That's what it means. Imagine telling them about the love and the hope and the peace that you have found in Jesus. Do you have love and hope and peace in Christ? then share it. Don't keep it to yourself. We live in a country and in a world that's getting darker and colder by the day. But you, dear child of God, can take the light of Christ and change somebody's life. And then you can look at them and say, praise God, that person is not living out their truth. They're living out His truth. And this country could use a whole lot of people doing that. Don't you think? Father, our prayer would be that You would use this group of people to take the light of Christ with them with all the love in their hearts. Jesus is the one who came into this world, and He was the light of the world. And now He has left us here to reflect His light. And He says a city on a hill cannot be hidden. And He says if you've got a lamp on a stand in your house, you don't hide it under a bushel basket. You let it shine for everybody to see. God, make us to be that lamp. Father, make this body of Christ here to be that city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And Father, we'll give You all the glory for what You do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.